Welcome to Just Pure Laughs, the podcast all about clean comedy. I'm your host, Dan McGowan. I grew up in an entertainment family and have been working as a clean comedian for nearly 30 years. My experience includes comedy clubs, corporate events, cruise ships, community events, military and theater shows, and more. I'm a winner in the Branson Clean Comedy Contest. I've appeared in TV commercials and theater productions and recently filmed a Dry Bar Comedy special that you can find over there at drybarcomedy.com. In many ways, I've seen it all and always seem drawn back to comedy that everyone can enjoy. Clean comedy. So, if you enjoy comedy that is suitable for all ages and just want to learn more about clean comedy, stick around because it's time for Just Pure Laughs. Well, today's episode of Just Pure Laughs features me as host and guest. No, I won't be talking to myself. I do that enough already as it is. Rather, this is just a break from the regular host-guest interview format so I can share some of my thoughts on a question I'm often asked, which is, Dan, how do you write clean comedy? I appreciate that question because it indicates that there are comedians who desire to write cleaner content, but perhaps have not taken the steps necessary to actually achieve that goal, at least maybe not successfully. Let me begin right out of the gate by saying that comedy, like any art form, is multifaceted and multi-layered. Just like the tools you have for painting, namely a wide variety of colors and textures to choose from, the same is true for stand-up comedy, or really any type of comedy. The tools at our disposal are practically unlimited. This leaves the door wide open for a wide variety of ways to express and perform stand-up comedy. I always say that while I lean clean with my comedy, I do appreciate comedy in all forms, as long as two things are in play. First, and this is something I never sway away from, the comedy or the content of the joke must be funny. We call it stand-up comedy for a reason. It's not stand-up lecture or stand-up philosophy class. What we do is provide content intended to elicit laughter. And if that's not happening, then we're just wasting everyone's time. And then, secondly, for me personally, primarily because of my faith, I never appreciate comedy that specifically takes God's name in vain, or any member of the Trinity for that matter. I don't need to mention the variations on using God's name in vain. We all know what they are. And even if a joke is hilarious, I still get ruffled by the taking of God's name in vain. And of course, there is some vulgar content that simply leaves me feeling dark and hopeless. I suppose that might be part of the motivation for that type of content. And I don't know about you, but I prefer not leaving a comedy show feeling like I need to take a shower or seek out an exorcism. I also realize that not everyone has any sort of faith in God, so I don't harp on that. I let that remain a personal thing for me. However, that first rule, being funny, as I said, I do not sidestep. Speaking of dark and hopeless, in my experience, it seems that when comedy leans clean, it does have a way of lifting the mood of the room in a positive way. It may not specifically leave people feeling hopeful, but it does leave people feeling happier than how most extreme vulgar content tends to make people feel. This is one of the reasons I write and perform clean comedy. So let's dive into this a bit. Clean and bad comedy is never acceptable. If a joke is not funny, but it's clean, that's not a good combination. In most comedy club settings, a precedent or norm has been set where the majority of the jokes are peppered with cussing or vulgar content. It is expected that in a comedy club, the content will be what we call adult. Sometimes it is funny, and sometimes it's not. But here's the thing about most comedy clubs. Customers are ordering drinks and getting tipsy. The chairs are usually positioned very close to each other, oftentimes your butt cheek to butt cheek. The rooms are intimate in many cases, and laughter is contagious. The comedy club owners are smart. They know how to create a space that will almost always guarantee laughter. So, a comedian gets up and oftentimes will resort to crass humor, which, mainly because of those things I just mentioned, will elicit laughter. What this does is train the comedian wrong. The comedian begins thinking that simply because they shocked the audience with vulgarity, their joke is funny. As I said, sometimes it is, but sometimes it isn't. And the room is designed to cause audience members to laugh. In the end, the comedian believes themselves to be successful. It's a very odd reality, but in my experience, that is how it tends to work. Now we introduce a cleaner comedian into that environment, and out of the gate, there's a roadblock to overcome. If the clean comedian can't deliver the laughs, and they won't resort to adding vulgarity simply to earn a laugh, then they run the risk of appearing like a failure. This means a clean comedian needs to take their comedy to the next level. And for me, that level is based on clever writing and creativity. Yes, vulgar comedy can also be written very clever and with creativity, but that usually is not the main ingredient for most vulgar comedians. I'm sure I will get comments or letters. It's all good. I speak simply from my 30 years of experience writing and performing and getting paid for clean comedy. So let's talk about comedy goals, because for me, this lays the foundation for whatever comedy content we choose for our act. I have found that there are at least three main goals for comedians. The first is what I call professional comedian. These comedians are following a path that they hope will lead to fame and fortune. Club headliner, comedy special, sitcom, or movie. You can think of many comedians who fill this spot, I'm sure. Then there are what I consider the hobbyist comedian. This is the person who has a day job that pays well, with benefits and great working conditions, security, all of that. So they find open mics or other comedy opportunities in their local town and tell some jokes for the crowd. But this is a hobby for them. They are not following a career path. In some ways, they can say or do anything because if a bar or club refuses to let them perform in the future for whatever reason, at least they have their job to fall back on. So those are the two extremes. Then there is a spot in the middle, which I call pro-hobbyist. Basically, this is the person who has a job but wants to take their comedy to the next level and see what happens. They secure paid comedy gigs in comedy clubs or theaters or corporate events, but they are not yet at a place where performing stand-up comedy is their only means of income. I believe that the professional and the pro-hobbyist, in most cases, approach their comedy in a professional manner, meaning they write and edit and perform as often as they can, always striving to create jokes that elicit humor and laughter and leave audiences feeling glad they spent money on drinks or food or parking or babysitting to enjoy a night of laughs. I also love watching the hobbyist strive for a sense of professionalism. That comedian always stands out. If they are off notes or know how to perform on stage, etc., they will always be viewed as a pro by the audience. And of course, that helps raise the bar on stand-up comedy in general. Okay, so now we get to the title of this episode. You thought we'd never get there. How to write clean comedy. Here's the way I approach it. And like everything I say, you can take it or leave it. If it helps you, fantastic. If you think I'm full of baloney, then that's fine too. Again, I can only speak from the 30 plus years of experience I've had, most of which has earned me income for performing clean. So basically, I try to follow what I call the three C's: clever, creative, and clean. Clever writing simply means taking the time to find the sparkle or wit in your writing, finding words and phrases that just seem to add zing. This does not happen fast. I mean, it can, but usually it doesn't. I would say of all the jokes I've written, and I don't have an exact number for that, but certainly well over a couple hundred or more, perhaps 10 to 15% of those simply arrived out of the gate as ready to go. but the majority of my jokes, especially the ones I consider to be more effective, took time to craft. For me, this is part of the fun, the writing. I do feel that just about anyone can get up and rattle off something they think is funny, but in most cases, that doesn't fly for a comedy show. It's important to figure out why other people will laugh, and for me, that is built on this notion of being clever with my writing. Now, clever can include things like a twist ending, or alliteration, or body movements, or volume of the voice, or character voices, and more. It's the writing mixed with the performance, of course. But for me, it all begins with the writing. An example. My doctor asked me what I was doing for exercise. I told him I like to play golf. Okay, that's our setup. Me answering the doctor's question about what I do for exercise. Then I continue. He suggested I try walking the course. Okay, so we are still on that track about golf being my exercise and his suggestion that I walk the course rather than use a cart. I continue. So I tried that, and I was surprised at all the things I missed having not walked the course before. Now you can feel I'm coming up to a payoff or a punchline. I continue. They've got windmills, castles, clown heads, no more carts for me. So obviously my joke has a twist in there of talking about miniature golf. Usually people laugh. I hope you did. The reason that joke is clever is because of the misdirection and the twist ending. Audiences love jokes like that. I always try to aim for those as often as possible, but sometimes they are more in the land of simply being creative. So let's talk about creativity in our joke writing. This comes from our ability as jokesters, storytellers, humorists, to look at the world around us and find a creative way to talk about it. If we're going to talk about airplane food, a long-time go-to for comedians of the past, then we need to speak about that topic in a fresh way that has not been done to death. This is where creativity comes in. To just tell another airplane food joke that is probably well known to a degree is what we call in the business a hack joke. In other words, been there, done that, heard it, bought your cassette tape. To stand out as a comedian, we must be creative in our writing. Here's one of my examples. We had a slip and slide when I was a kid, or as I called it, the slip and slide and slam into the side of the house. So, that setup also includes a small punchline, but the joke is not over yet. I continue. But my dad was really cheap. He never ran water on it. Again, this is a minor punchline that keeps the joke going, and usually people moan at that part. Continuing, I say, he just put it on a hill and made us go down dry. Okay, now that could be the end of the joke. It works as a punchline, but I wanted to add just a little more creativity. So, it was a lot of fun until the neighbor boy burned a hole right through it and scorched his fanny. Again, almost the end of the joke, but not quite. So my dad did the right thing. He picked the kid up, took him across the street to his house, got his dad out, and said, hey, you owe us a new slip and slide. And that's the final punchline. What keeps that joke going are the peppered moments of almost punchlines throughout the joke. Crafting that joke creatively is what accomplishes this. Now, any joke we write will hopefully have those first two elements, those first two C's, clever writing and creativity. But then the next C is the crucial one for clean comedy. What is it? Keeping the jokes clean. I guess that's obvious. So in the joke that I just shared, there are a few words I could have said instead of fanny. But I decided to go with fanny because it's a funny sounding word. It is actually a funnier word than butt or even ass. Ass is more of a shock word, but it's not as funny sounding as fanny. So I knew it would at least start the laugh machine going. But it is also clean. Ass is not a terribly offensive word, but fanny obviously is cleaner. I can freely say fanny in a church event or a corporate event. Ass, you got to be careful. If we want to write clean, we need to seek out words or phrases that can say what we want to say without actually saying it. Another joke of mine that fits this clean model of saying something without actually saying it is this. I think my wife is going through a midlife crisis. The other day she told me she wants to become a firefighter, which I thought was a little odd. But she's kind of impulsive. We're taking things one step at a time. So I went out and got the pole. Now, I usually reach over and grab the mic stand at this point just to emphasize the idea of the pole. This joke is clean, but it hints at the idea of pole dancing without saying it. We cover all three areas here. This joke is clever, creative, and clean. And so this leads to the big question, why? Why work clean? For me and my comedy goals, it just comes down to business. I enjoy performing comedy, and I also enjoy getting paid for performing comedy. While there are many pro comedians out there who work vulgar and earn money doing so, in most cases, they have earned the right to do that. Either by starting out less vulgar to secure gigs and get their name out there, growing an audience so that now they can call the shots for their specials or whatever. Or they've just always worked in that vulgar style and it took years to build up that audience. So, of course, that is an option. In my case, I got back into comedy after a 20-year sabbatical. I was in my 40s. I looked around and I realized I did not have the years ahead of me to carve out a future in clubs, working week after week and eventually becoming a headliner. I knew there was money to be made working in corporate comedy, so that's the path I took. I also knew that I needed to craft a set of at least 45 to 60 minutes in length with jokes that would be what I call HR approved, trusted content that would elicit the laughs and earn me a paycheck. And what that means is the W word, write, 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 which is easier said than done, I know. I began a process of trying to write at least, on average, one joke every day. Then, at the end of the week, revisit the jokes and see how many made it into the land of funny. After about a year of pushing myself like that, I ended up with a solid 45 to 60 minutes that seems to work well. I try whenever I can to add new content, but I always rely on what I know will work. Again, because I enjoy getting paid. For me, the choice to work clean has just opened the door wider for opportunities to perform. You know, getting gig opportunities like corporate events and theater shows, church shows, cruise ships. I recently filmed a dry bar comedy special. All of those gig opportunities paid well. So for me, it has been worth the effort to craft comedy that is clever, creative, and clean. By the way, if you need help doing all of this, trying to work cleaner, I offer one-on-one consultation, and you can find out more about that at my website, danmcgowan.com. I hope you enjoy the same clean comedy path, if that's what you desire. Right. Hey, thanks for listening to Just Pure Laughs. Join me next time for another interview with a clean-leaning entertainer. And by the way, you can subscribe to this podcast wherever you find it, including RSS, Apple, YouTube, and other fine sources for podcast entertainment. For now, keep making people laugh. See you next time.